All right, thank you for being here and staying with us. I hope you enjoyed that lunch this afternoon. I will talk, it's 12:08, our goal is to get out of here by 12:30, so I will talk fast and you listen fast, and I know we just fed you, so do me a favor, stay awake, okay? And that'll be great for everybody. How many of you enjoyed that? Good. Brother Chim does really, really good with that, and so all of our guys do. You know, we just came out of youth conference, and I, as I mentioned, the morning service, I think it's one of the best that we've had. I think God used that to encourage our church, but I think he also used it to encourage other churches. But really, the big thing was, I think he encouraged a lot of teenagers to make decisions, decisions that will alter their future and alter where they are in life 15 years from now. Many of our staff, many of ours that are on the mission field or are out serving in other places, they can look back to a time at a youth conference where they heard a message and God spoke to their heart about something and they made a decision and it helped them to get there. Youth conference is a lot of time, effort, money, but it is well worth it. And I want to point out, and it's a really easy thought, okay? It'll take a few minutes to get there, and we'll say a few things, but when we get to the main thought, it's going to be one of those like, well, that's duh, okay? But it's very important. And I want to just mention really one of the key reasons why we have a youth conference. Now, it's for everybody. And the truth that we'll talk about, let's say this afternoon, it's for everybody, and I want us to understand that. This is the story of David doing something that was expressly forbidden by God. David decides he wants to number the people. God didn't want them to number the people. One of the reasons was, I believe, God didn't want the king to, well, I have, you know, this many soldiers, and I'll trust in the strength of my soldiers instead of trusting in the strength of God. Because if you look through the history of Israel, they won battles when they had more soldiers. They won battles when they had way less soldiers. And they even won battles when soldiers didn't have to do anything but watch. God wanted them to get the idea it was about him and not about them. That's why they couldn't buy a bunch of horses, which Solomon did. They couldn't buy a bunch of chariots. Why? God didn't want them trusting that. God wanted them trusting in him. And so David decides that, well, this is what I want to do. I want to number the people. Joab, who had his issues, in this one instance, he was right. He tried to protest to David. David wouldn't listen to him. And so David goes ahead and pushes him, and he goes out and he starts numbering the people, which, of course, was a sin. In the portion of the scripture that we read, God comes to him and says, okay, now here's how it's going to work. You did wrong. I'm going to offer you three punishments. You get to choose your punishment. The first one was 7 years of famine in the land. Now, that would probably be pretty bad. No rain, no things, struggling for 7 years. That'd be a pretty bad famine. Or he says, David, you can be on the run again for 3 more months from your enemies. By the way, David had done that many times. Saul had chased him. Absalom got him kicked out of his throne, and he ran. Or you can have 3 days of pestilence in the land directed by the Lord. And so David thinks and makes an option. David made what he thought was the best choice. We'll get back to that in a minute. The main reason, and again, this is all going to tie in together, we have youth conference is because of sin. All of us have to deal with. All of us are faced on a regular basis with having to make right choices, with having to divert ourselves away and stay away from making a wrong choice, which is really, in essence, just disobeying God. We're trying to help our young people to get through that to the best of their ability. And by the way, you know, it used to be we'd say, you know, oh, back in the day, bless God, you know, when I was a kid, I had it worse. That's not true nowadays. With all that's going on in our society, with all that's accessible to our teenagers, when it comes to living right and doing right, they have a lot more challenges than we ever had. And so we want our youth conference because, as I mentioned on the first night of youth conference, I want our young people to follow God's will. I want them to be open to say, God, here's what I want for my life, whatever you want. You show me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. We also want them to be open to God's ways, to say, Lord, my life, to the best of my ability, is going to match up with the scripture. But no teenager, no young person can do that if they do not successfully navigate through life and make the right kind of choices to keep themselves away from sin and the wrecking ball that it brings. And that's one reason why we have youth conference. Of course, we do a lot of things we do for the teenagers. We want our younger generation to have the opportunity to not have to face some of the things that some of us have had to face because we didn't grow up in church. We weren't Christians from the get-go. You know, my children shouldn't have to face the choices and face some of the things that I had to face because they were in church from the time they were in the nursery. They've been to Sunday school all those years. I didn't start going until I was, you know, a high school dropout. And so I want them to have something better. And I want them, and by the way, they should, as well as all of you that are in church, you should be able to navigate through those things a lot easier than others. And youth conference is one of those things that help us. But the biggest thing we're doing is because we have to fight sin. It's everywhere. And it'll ruin our lives. Not just teenagers, it'll ruin adults. How many marriages I've heard of that ruin because some adult later on in life gets a little screwy and they go do something crazy. It wrecks their family and everything about it. So let me give you a couple thoughts when it comes to fighting sin. We have to fight sin's temptation. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Please, we'll look at a couple verses there. Genesis chapter 3. And see, Satan is behind sin. Of course, we also have the flesh and the world. But Satan's really good at throwing things at us. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." That means deciding. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." See, this is where sin came into the world. And Satan was right behind it, doing everything he can to confuse her, to get her to think differently so that she would disobey what God said and she would take of the fruit. He tried to get her to ignore God's word. God had expressly told her, her and Adam both, by the way, don't eat it. And so Satan comes up. Now, by the way, when Satan comes up, he doesn't just say, hey, disobey God. There's usually a process behind it. He tries to get us confused. He tries to get us into a place where we're so confused about it that we'll make the mistake and we will make our own decision. He tried to cast doubt. Yea, hath God said. By the way, doubt is always of Satan. If we're to live by faith, the just are to live by faith, and all of us are struggle with it, when we start to have doubt, understand this, that's not from God, that's from Satan. Because when we start to doubt, then we're not having faith, and when we don't have faith, we get ourselves in trouble. But after he gets her to doubt God's word, he denies it. You shall not surely die. Now that's in direct contrast to what God said. What happened to her? She got confused. She started to ignore God's goodness. She said, in explaining to the situation to Satan, neither shall you touch it. God never said that. Now, I'm going to guess it wasn't a good idea to touch the fruit. I mean, if God says don't eat it, don't touch it. But now she's, well, God, you know, we can't even touch it or we're going to die. God never said he'd kill her for touching it. And then there's a deleted word. Thou mayest freely eat. God, she deleted that word. We can eat of it. No, God said you can freely eat of the good trees. See, Satan gets us confused. What he tries to get us to think is that God's not good. He's keeping us from that which is good. You understand that? And see, whenever we start to get tempted with doing something that God says is wrong, in our mind we're looking at it and say, well, what's so bad about that? What's wrong with that? By the way, that's something I never have to think about. Because if God said don't do it, I don't need to debate it. Okay? That would have been a good time to say amen right there. I don't need to sit there and say, well, what's wrong with it? I could figure it out if I wanted to, if I thought about it, but I don't need to. God said don't do it. Hey, that's all I need to know. But what Satan tries to mess us up so we don't think that God's law is good for us. And by the way, God's commands are good for us. God is good. It's not doing our own thing which brings pleasure, and it does bring pleasure for sins for a season, but it's not going to bring fulfillment, life, and joy. It's doing God's thing. And before we step out of doing God's thing, we need to be confused about that. God is good. Then in verse 6, he's trying to get her to ignore God's warning. What happened? Look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, now he's got her so confused, her eyes are off of God, her memory is gone from what God said, and now she starts to look at the thing that God said, hey, don't do that, don't eat that. So she saw that it was good for food. Yeah, it may have looked good for food, but it was forbidden, right? It was pleasant to the eyes. It doesn't look bad. And a tree desired to make one wise, not tied into what Satan said, you'll be able to make your own decisions. You'll know what to do. She took of the fruit and did eat and gave unto her husband. He did eat with her. See, that's what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to take everything that's going on, and he's trying to tempt us and confuse us so we don't see God's way as the best way. We see going against God's way as the best way. And by the way, let me say this. When that happens, we're doomed to live life based on our own senses. See, she made a decision based on her senses. It looks good. It seems like it would taste great. And so she's making all these decisions based on what she thinks. By the way, the best way is not to make your life's decisions based on what you think is best. That didn't go over well. Maybe I'll talk to the wall. Listen to me. You don't know what's best. Well, I have all the answers. You don't even know the questions. I know this. This book has all the answers. And I can answer life's questions if I know this book and I try to answer the questions on God's book and not on what Steve thinks, because Steve doesn't know a whole lot. Okay, now you're going to say amen. Thanks. All right, I'm going to give up on you guys. Then we don't only see sin's temptation. Here's the problem. We see sin's consequences. But Satan didn't talk about that, did he? He didn't talk about any of that. He could care less. He's just getting you hooked. You know, we talk about fishing, right? You put the bait on the hook. You know what the bait is there for? So the dumb fish doesn't see the hook. Oh, look, food. It's free. I don't have to go to the grocery store. You know what the fish ought to be thinking? Frying pan, right? If I take the bait, frying pan. We don't want them to see a frying pan. We want them to see the delicious free food. The frying pan comes later. Satan doesn't want you to see the frying pan. He wants you to see that this is wonderful. And then as soon as you sin, now the consequences creep in. Sin never fulfills its promise. It may bring excitement in the long term, but it will not bring joy. It'll bring excitement in the short term. It won't bring joy in the long term. Never does. Sin is brutal. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, speaking of Moses, it says that he choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So Moses could have kept his eyes closed. Moses could have kept his nose out of things and lived that life with Pharaoh, but he would have had to watch his people being destroyed. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to enjoy these pleasures, because in the long run, that's not what God wants. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, even though it brought affliction. Now, I want you to see something about the consequences in the verses that we read, okay? This, and then the message is simple. That was just all a little brief introduction. You ready? Look at verse 13. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee of the land? Okay, there's choice one. You know, remember, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. Door number 1, 2, and 3. But you know what's behind the doors already. Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies? Door number 2. You didn't even get a refrigerator. While they pursue thee. Or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. So that's David's options. Now we can debate which one should he have chose. Okay, well let's take a look. Which one do you think David should have chose? Now we know the story. We know that he chose the 3 days pestilence. And he gave a pretty good, you know, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. I don't want to, you know, go 7 years without food and all the drama and trying to figure that out. I don't want to run from my enemies and be in their hands for 3 months. Let me just spiritualize this consequence for a minute. Let's go 3 days with the Lord. By the way, that didn't turn out very well. Thousands of people were killed. Now, here's the question. What's the right choice? You know, as a pastor, many times people come in and because of the consequences of sin, they come in and say, you know, I got involved in this, or this is a part of my life. And by the way, God can get you through all that, don't get me wrong. But it's like, here's what's going on in my life. You know, I have to make a decision. What do I do? Now, no one's going to come to my office after I answer this one. And I'm sitting there like, I have no clue. The choices are all not good. Now, what we do is, because of God's grace, we make the best choice we can, and we go forward. And by the way, some of us have been in that situation. And if you do the right thing and you try to get back on track, you can get through it. There's still going to be some scars. There are probably still some consequences, right? But what's the right choice? Here's my answer. I don't know. They're all bad. Every last one of them is bad. That's the consequences of sin. So, what am I trying to say? Let me just get rid of some notes here and just, I got stuff and you can figure that out later. There is a good choice though. Are you ready? And by the way, this choice is one of the reasons we have youth conference. You know what the best choice is that was laid before David? The one he didn't make. The one that he should have made the first time that idiotic thought came to his mind that said, let's number the people. You know what? He had 3 choices. All of them were bad, but no, he had more than that. Before he had the 3 that were bad, it started with the choice that he had over here, and there was only 2 options. Are you ready? Obey God or disobey God. That's it. Let me simplify it. He doesn't need to choose whether he's going to have famine, enemies, or God killing a bunch of people. All he had to do was stand up and say, no, I'm not going to number the people. And he did it. That's the best choice. Now, some of us, we've been in places before and you've done things. And some of you, maybe you got saved later on in life. God's grace can get you through that. Don't get me wrong. But you know why we have youth conference? I'm going to tell you right now. Because they haven't done that. And we're saying to you, listen, don't sit over here and choose one of the horrible consequences of what you did. Go over here and choose obedience. Go over here and choose, I'm going to do the right thing up front. No matter what Satan makes it look like, that's the best choice. You say, but what about us? We've made a mistake in our life. Okay, then get on the obey train. See, let me step outside of what I'm trying to get across here for a minute. See, what happens is we do something wrong, we start having some consequences, or life gets complicated. And so what do? We allow that to keep us in this mode of making bad choices. And we keep making bad choices, now the consequences get worse everywhere. Instead of just saying, listen, I'm going to get back on the right track. But you know, our young people don't have to deal with a lot of those things. Yeah, we like the stories, don't we? Oh, you know, I was a drunkard for Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't want to be a drunk. I was a drunkard before I met Jesus. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Brother Ross there for a minute. Brother Ross has never drank, but after youth conference, he seriously considers it. No. I was a drunkard and I got saved and God changed my life. We love those stories, do we not? I love those stories. But we don't love the story. Here's my testimony. Let's give Joseph's testimony. I remember I was in the nursery and I stole that kid's toy. I was wicked. And that one kid came up to me and I bit his arm. Okay. That's not going to bring people in, right? Remember, who was it? It was Brother Carr talking about Carl Houch's testimony. You know, all this nonsense. It's like Joseph doesn't have that. But you know what I'd rather choose? I'd rather choose Joseph's testimony. And so what do we need to do? Let's help our young people make the right decision over here, which is simple. One of two things, obey or disobey. One of them's good, one of them's bad. When you get over to the consequence phase, they're all bad. They're all bad. Why don't we just do the right thing up front? Let me help you with that. Parents, let's help them, our teens, avoid the things that would push them to make the wrong choice up front and say yes to disobedience. Now, some of this won't be popular, but that's okay. I gave you free food. The least you could do is listen. I wouldn't let my kid be trained in a non-Christian school. That didn't go over very well. By the way, the stones look great. Why would we send them to a school where they're going to teach them that, you know, you can decide whether you're a boy or girl? We'll have the gender reveal party when you're 30. You know, you came from an animal, so go ahead and act like one. The kids can't even read or write anymore. But boy, they know about all the wrong things. I shouldn't say next. Make sure they're not connected to technology that'll push them towards disobedience. I'm gonna be honest with you. I can't fight with a cell phone. And by the way, I'm not a technophobe. Okay, I had a computer before most of you probably ever had. I got my first computer when I was, 1992? Okay, we had to crank the side to get the electricity. You know, I had a Palm Pilot. I still love that thing. I don't know why. I use technology. I always have. There's a lot of garbage in there. And children can't handle it. Teenagers can't handle it. You adults can barely handle it. I know. Okay, Pastor Myers, get done with this. Thanks for the sandwich. We'll move on. If you were in my office, 95% of the times we deal with anything teen-related. Where's the cell phone? Where's the iPad? Where's the this? Social media, all of it. You want your kids to do right? Don't give them this. Our kids, you got to be 18. And then you got to graduate from high school, and then it's my choice. Okay? Why? I want to put them in a good position. And by the way, my kids seem to be doing fine. Are they living under a freeway because you didn't teach them anything? No, they're all doing good. They're fine. They're working. Okay, let's help them. You say, I probably shouldn't spend a lot of time on this. It's time to go. Well, you know, if I tried to take my child's phone away, they'd get mad. Let's think about this for a minute. Why are they getting mad? They know what's on there. They know what's on there. Like, make sure you handle the rattlesnake right. No, chop its head off. Okay? No kid is going to die without a cell phone. My kid's got to have it. Give him a flip phone. You have to put that. To get a C, you got C. Right? That's not cool. There's nothing cool about that. Internet, they tie a rope around it and throw it to their neighbor, and yeah, we'll talk through tin cans. But I'm telling you, you want them to make it there? Be careful who they're hanging around. You say, but my kids would get mad if I said that. They live in your house. Love them and just say, hey, we're not going that direction. But that's the stuff you got to watch to keep them away from. Thank you. We'll get back on board the ship now. It was sinking. help them to embrace the things that would push them to make the right choice, right? Look, if your kid comes and says, you know, God spoke to me at youth conference and I just want to follow him for the rest of my life, you ought to just say, that's a great decision. You ought to do that. Well, you know, I want you to be a medical doctor. Listen, I've seen your kid's school records. They'll be lucky if they stay out of prison. I'm kidding. I'm just joking. But look, if God wants your kid to be a medical doctor, have at it. But let's make sure that's what God wants, not what you want. You know, I don't care what my children do as long as they just do God's will. And if whatever that is, make sure that church, every time we're having church, you know, sometimes they get on fire and it's like, man, I'm ready to go. And then like, you know, we start missing services and stuff and they're being pulled away from that which is going to fan that flame. Make the spiritual things in life a big deal. A big deal. What am I saying? You know what youth conference is? Youth conference is about helping our teenagers and helping all of us, to be honest with you, to stay over in this area where the choices are very simple, right? Obey God or disobey. I'm gonna obey him. Because I don't want to have to make those decisions over there. David faced a lot of bad consequences in his life, did he not? You know where they all came from? Because several times in his life, he was over here and he chose the wrong thing. And by the way, if David can do that, I can do it. And you can do it. But maybe if we think about by the way, those stories are in the Bible for a reason. They're showing us the bad consequences, so it's like, I want to stay over there. Let's help our kids to make the right choices. Let us make the right choices. And then life's not complicated. It's fairly simple. Let's stand together this afternoon. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute. It's a simple thought. Kids have been learning it in Sunday school forever. You know, O-B-E-D-I-N-C. I'm not singing the song, I can't. Obedience is the very best why. Let's be obedient. As parents, I know you love your children. I know you love your young people. Push them to God and help them to avoid the things that would push them away from God. Well, they have to make their own decisions. I get it. But it'll be a lot easier for them to make their decisions when they're adults, and it's up to them if we've helped them make the right decisions up until the time that they are. We're supposed to walk them up to adulthood and teach them the habits of making the right decisions so that when they become adults, now they'll just know how to make the right decisions. We put them in a good place to succeed. And that comes as us, as families, we live making the right decisions. Obey, disobey is a lot easier than which one of these horrific events do you want to happen? Which one? Piano's going to play. God spoke to you about anything. Why don't you come? Let's work together as a church and as families to help our children to be in a good place. Let me say this, and I'm not any of us that have had to experience some of these things where we had these horrific choices, we ought to be the first ones on board to say, yep, I don't want others to go through what I had to go through. Isn't that what a testimony is? Hey, here's what God did in my life, but you know what? He can save you from all of that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us and thank you for the truths and the stories and the testimonies of Scripture. I pray you'd help all of us. Lord, Satan puts pressure on us. The world puts pressure on us. And to be honest with you, our own flesh and our own desires put pressure on us to make that first bad initial choice, not realizing the consequences we'll have to deal with later. I pray you'd help all of us to make the simple choice, which is the easiest choice, and avoid it. The first place. Bless us now as we go our way, the different fellowships and so forth until we meet on Tuesday night. Thank you for those that are here. Bless them, Lord, for their attendance and speak to their hearts as we leave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.